court will proceed. Court takes that case under advisement and moves to the fifth case, Awing versus Inmate INS.
Or is that Awing?
Good morning, Your Honors.
Mr. Block, is that Awing or?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, it's Samuel Awing, A-W-E.
Okay, thank you.
Versus INS. I'm Harold Block. I represent the respondent and the appellant in this action. This gentleman is a 63-year-old gentleman from Nigeria who previously, during the course of his personal history, came to the United States on four occasions, 1969 as a student, 1976 as a student, 1985 because he came for a medical purpose, which was a kidney transplant. This gentleman has chronic kidney failure and, as a matter of fact, has had two kidney transplantations, both of which ultimately were rejected. And as a result of that, he now receives dialysis three times a week. This gentleman applied for asylum and his asylum case was heard by the immigration judge in August of 1999. The immigration judge denied his asylum claim, contending that he did not believe that Mr. Awing had been subjected to past persecution. There was no adverse credibility determination made, but nonetheless, he didn't feel that it rose to the level of persecution and that he didn't believe that there were was a likelihood of future persecution based upon what he, the immigration judge, perceived as improving conditions in the country of Nigeria based upon a very recent election. This case was appealed. A timely notice of appeal was filed. Eventually, the transcript was sent with a briefing schedule, and I blew the briefing date. And as a result thereof, I was unable to file a brief. The Board of Immigration Appeals, as the government has pointed out extensively in its brief, in their notices, indicate very clearly the date when a brief needs to arrive at the board. And then on the second page of the notice, they indicate that any type of extension request must be received by the board on or before the expiration of the filing date. Any extension request received after the extension, after the briefing period has expired, will not be granted. And that's underlined. So the bottom line is, if you blow the briefing date, you're done as far as being able to submit a brief. Now, it is my position in this case, though, that in the notice of appeal that was filed, that there was a fair appraisal of the issues that we were contending existed in the immigration judge's denial of the claim. In the notice of appeal, references made specifically to a BIA decision which discusses the fact that, among other things, a basis for persecution can be based upon, rather than physical abuse or confinement, other forms of persecution such as psychological intimidation, fear, emotional fear, and so forth. The testimony of the asylum applicant was that he had been a minister of agriculture for one of the states in Nigeria. This was during the regime of the military government of Nigeria. He was approached by a superior wondering why they hadn't seen any money coming across to them from his ministry. He wasn't sure what they meant, and afterwards he was apprised that he didn't get the program. He didn't understand the program. Perhaps he'd been in the U.S. too long. In any event, subsequent to that, he was discharged from his duties. He was threatened in a number of ways, and he was also brought into custody for a two-hour incarceration, where interrogation, I'm sorry, wherein he was asked whether he was a CIA agent or a spy for the U.S. or just exactly what his agenda was. This gentleman was, at that time, experiencing the rejection symptoms from his second kidney transplant, and his health was failing rapidly.
His child, he's talking about?
No, the gentleman himself, right. Mr. Awi, who is now 63 years old. He managed to secure a visa to come back to the United States. He was given deferred action by the INS because of his medical condition. Medical reports that have been filed with INS show clearly that this gentleman, if he doesn't get his dialysis with regularity, will die very quickly. And he is on a transplantation list, but he's already had two kidney rejections, so I don't know where he sits on the list anymore. In any event, we did file for asylum for him because we felt that he did have a legitimate claim. The IJ did not agree. The Board of Immigration Appeals, the IJ dismissal of his claim was in August of 99. The BIA issued its decision of summarily dismissing on the basis of failure. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. It issued their summary dismissal on March of 2002. That's a substantial period of time. In the BIA decision, and as the government has pointed out, they discussed the fact that they are summarily dismissing in accordance with the provisions of HCFR, which among other things says that the board may dismiss if within the period of time given for filing a brief, the appellant fails to file the brief. But it is our position that the board in its decision denied on for two bases, and this is the point of controversy with the government, I believe, although I won't speak for them. In addition to relying upon summary dismissal as being appropriate under the provisions of the code, in its decision, the board does say, moreover, upon review of the record, we are not persuaded that the immigration judge's ultimate resolution of this case was an error. Now, the board is typically not in the habit of offering gratuitous comments in their decisions. If the board was clearly comfortable and intended to rely solely on dismissing under the summary dismissal provisions, why would they have provided comment indicating that they've reviewed the record? Because, quite frankly, if they're saying we've reviewed the record, we don't believe the judge was incorrect, well, then I believe clearly they have failed to enunciate with any detail or provision in any way what persuaded them that the judge did not make error. And in this case, I believe there are substantial reasons why the court did make error. I might also add that in the administrative record, in pages 68 through 80, there is a discussion on the record between the U.S. government attorney and myself and the judge, wherein the U.S. government attorney asks the government, joins in a joint motion, to consider a grant of asylum in the exercise of humanitarian consideration, as it is privileged to do under the regulations and under the case of In Re Chen. The judge in his written decision does not mention the Chen decision, but it's very clear on the record. It consumes 12 pages of the administrative record and the pages cited, and I believe clearly that if, in fact, the board had reviewed the record, they could simply have not ignored this without comment. I would like to reserve anything further
sure.
for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Black. Mr. Norwood?
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Anthony Norwood. I'm representing the INS here today. Your Honor, there are 60,000 cases pending before the Board of Immigration Appeals at any one time. In this case, the Board applied its own regulation and dismissed petitioner's appeal for failure to file a brief. Petitioner clearly set forth that he would file a brief and did not file a brief. The merits of the asylum claim are not before this Court, as this Court can and obviously does. The board dismissed this case for their failure to file the brief.
The kidney problem.
Your Honor, as petitioner's counsel mentions, with the kidney problem, the solution or one of the solutions for that is deferred action. And as counsel represented, he has obtain deferred action from the INS. The kidney problem does not establish a claim for asylum. That does not establish persecution.
Well, how about the kidney? Will you delay it until he gets the kidney or until they reject him?
That's not in my jurisdiction, and it's not in the court's jurisdiction.
Would you object to it?
Your Honor, I'm not in, I'm not in a position to object to it. Nobody's asked us for it.
It's before you, isn't it?
It's before the district director, apparently.
Right.
And it apparently has been granted, but it's not a part of this record. It's not a part of this case. It was not presented to the Board of Immigration Appeals. The argument that the notice of appeal is sufficient was not even presented to this court. There are several things that petitioner's counsel said in his argument to this court that were new to me. Deferred action is in the bailiwick of the district director, and that is where it should be and where it would be, and there's no judicial review of that. Apparently it has been granted. It does not establish a claim for asylum. As I pointed out, it is petitioner's new argument to me, it's not in the petitioner's brief, that the notice of appeal that the petitioner filed with the board was sufficient to present their claim to the board. As petitioner's counsel even pointed out, the immigration judge does not mention the matter of Chen case. It's not in the immigration judge's decision. This is clearly not a case involving matter of Chen. Matter of Chen is past persecution that is so horrendous.
Could it be that he didn't file a brief because of the kidney problem? Because of his illness? Isn't that something that you should look into?
Your Honor, there's nothing in the record to that. Petitioner has been represented by counsel throughout these proceedings. There have been none of these claims have been made. No one presented to the Board of Immigration Appeals that the brief should be delayed or waived for any reason. I mean, the Board of Immigration Appeals gave the petitioner until January of 2001 to file a brief and did not make the decision until early 2002. They waited for a brief for a long time.
Nora, let me just ask you, is in your experience, when the board dismisses on procedural grounds, does it generally make this additional commentary as to the merits?
Yes, it does, Your Honor. We have seen a lot of these. And there's been a lot of discussion within our office about what that comment is.
It does raise sort of a tantalizing situation. I'm not addressing the procedural dismissals, the merits of that right now. Because as a standalone comment, once it comes to a court of appeals, it'd have a hard time passing muster for... So you kind of wonder, is it in there to just make the petitioner feel he also got some sort of, he or she got some sort of merits review? And I don't know what to
our discussion in our office, we determined among ourselves in conversation that it's not an alternative holding on the merits. It's not sufficient to be an alternative holding
right.
on the merits. It's not an alternative holding on the merits. If you think you have to reach the merits, we would say it has to be remanded to the board. My theory, the way I understand it, and I think I'm correct, is that it is a showing that the board has looked at the record, that there's not an egregious error here, that there's not a constitutional violation going on, there's not a beaten confession or something. The board has looked at the record and seen that the record, there's no egregious error in the record. And therefore, then they say, accordingly, after we've made this review, accordingly, we will and think it's proper to dismiss for failure to file a brief under our regulations as the regulations permit. The court has no further questions?
Apparently not. Thank you, Mr. Norwood. Mr. Block?
Thank you, Governor. Well, I realize that it is the government's position that the decision is based solely on HCFR and the failure to file a brief. That's my problem and my client's problem, and I'll have to deal with that.
Is it your problem? Were you the attorney?
Yes, I'm.
And you're the one that didn't file it.
I am the guilty party, Your Honor. I have to acknowledge that. However, I do not agree that insertion into the opinion of a representation that the board has reviewed the record without any discussion more than that, other than saying we agree with the immigration judge's decision, is not also a reason for their holding. I understand that's the government's position. If that was
how could we get to that if they lead off with it that it's dismissed procedurally? I appreciate you, it's fair to raise the question, why is that language in there? But how does the Court of Appeals get to that language? Or how should we get to it?
Well, first of all, the code says, as does the warning, that the Board of Appeals may dismiss it on that basis. Now, it seems clear to me that also implies that they may not dismiss it in that situation. It's within their discretion, it's within their purview of
what...
But
if they exercise it...
If they exercise it, and if they don't state any other alternative reasons that, you know, at least arguably are a reason for the dismissal, yes, they state that they're using the provisions of the code to summarily dismiss it. I do not agree that that means that's the sole reason for dismissing the appeal. What is the purpose of the dicta, if you will, as perhaps the government might claim, that they actually reviewed the record? Is it because today, and often today, they're sending out decisions where they're affirming without opinion, which apparently is happening now too? It you know, the streamlining process, I understand there's 60,000 cases. However, I don't see where that's justification for selling a person's claim, which has...
Sir, are you asking us to see it as an alternative holding?
That's what I'm asking, Your Honor.
Well, then, so you're saying if we do, then we must remand because of that.
That's what I'm saying. For some elaboration of the record, what led them to conclude that the judge was correct in his assertion? That's exactly what I'm asking.
Under your approach, would we also be asking them to examine their... Or what would you ask us to say about the procedural default?
Well, with regard to the procedural default, it isn't a mandatory procedure. They may do it. If they are doing it, and you know they may do it, it's discretionary. Then shouldn't there be some reason indicated that they have no idea of what the appeal issues are, or something to that effect? That's my response, basically.
All right.
And one more thing.
Yes.
The administrative record, pages 68 to 80, the government joined in a request of the court to grant this matter under humanitarian parole. I think that's significant.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Brock. Thank you, Mr. Norwood. Case is taken under advisement. The court will stand in recess.